You know the Costco Boys Boom song?
Yeah.
There's a part of that just sounds like the DK rap. And I think they just ripped the DK
yeah.
rap.
Yeah. Yeah. We bring the boom. It's the boom. Do, 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 do.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong.
Bring the boom.
That's what we do. Do you think that mashup exists already on YouTube?
I don't know.
If it does, can you make it the outro?
And
if
not, mashup of that.
And if it doesn't exist, and there's probably an AI you could make that mashup, right?
I don't want to burn a tree for the Costco boys. There's a lot of people who take the DK rap and memeify it where like just every word is coconut gun or something. It's just some bullshit.
I have not seen the YouTube poop versions of the DK rap.
Yeah.
Originally from Donkey Kong 64, yes. I believe. Yeah. Which is an awful game, but it did bless us with the DK rap.
Fucking those Nintendo 64 collect-a-thons.
Yeah.
It was just all like, oh, we could do 3D World out. Get the things.
You know what made those games excellent, though, is they were great strategy guide games. And so
for game facts,
for being 10 years old when those games were coming out and having kids bring the strategy guide to school, no, like the Prima strategy guide, like the printed magazine, they bring that to school. That's like the coolest thing ever. You're just sitting there looking at this video game all day.
Yeah.
Just imagining the possibilities.
When did Game Informer start being a magazine?
It was like late 90s.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was a Game Pro kid.
Okay. Because I was wondering, because I had that in middle school that people would read and bring in for drop everything and read day.
Yeah. I don't remember guys bringing in magazines or like monthlies, but they would bring in the strategy guides for whatever new games they got, which was always fun. Mm. Yeah. I think I ended up being a Game Pro kid because that was what was available at the airport, you know, when I was getting on a flight. And so then it was just like, hey, I guess I'll... Hey, Mom, can I subscribe to this magazine? And so that's what ended up coming every month. How much of it do you know?
Not much. I know if he shoots you, it's going to hurt. I know right before that's the coconut gun part. Is Cranky Kong in it? Did they talk about Cranky Kong?
No, Funky Kong's in there, though.
Oh, Funky Kong.
I think, because Cranky Kong's the OG. He's the...
Yeah.
If we're talking about the lore.
Yeah. Donkey Kong should be called Donkey Kong Jr.
Yes. Well, he was at one point.
Yeah, for like the original Mario Kart, I think they call him Donkey Kong Jr.
Yeah. Anyways.
So you throw in the Brain Destroyer.
You sit there like a fucking baboon! I hate fucking whiskey, sir. So I couldn't stop it fucking 3 or 4 hours, right? Wow!
I'm CM Punk and I wish we would stop genocide, you know?
Money blow! Money blow!
Oh, yeah, the clown. The only one of you buffoons who doesn't make me laugh. And as for you, I don't know you, but I'm sure you're a jerk.
Mango.
Well, what we were just saying, that you are an average man.
Yeah, I have brown eyes, brown hair, 5'8". About 190 pounds, and there's nothing really discernible about me.
You're a real two and two kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. although at Genesis, 0-2, right?
2-2.
You went 2-2,
bitch.
Who did you beat?
Okay, well, technically 1-2.
Before we get off on our hyper fixations, welcome to the Winning Time Chaotic Pussy broadcast. I'm your host.
Mr. Dream?
Steven, Mr. Steve. Dream. I find it fascinating how you go back and forth between the two.
Winning Time and Cameron?
I don't think you ever referred to yourself as Cameron, typically.
I don't.
But definitely your brother, a lot of times.
Yeah.
You will correct yourself and say Grink.
Grink and Cade,
And then you will just say Cade. Like, it depends on the context of the story, I think. I think if it's more gaming-related or, like, internet-related.
I try to say Grink, but it just, you know, naturally comes out Cade a lot of the time.
I don't know. Cade's a cool fucking name. I have buddies who have very unique names like that that do not like their names being used in public spaces because they're like, well, someone could find me very easily. And I'm like, yeah, but like, who cares? Like, nobody's going to hunt you down.
I mean, we've done Facebook search Cade Eisenhower, and there's like one in Iowa that like comes up before Cade does.
They should have a Cade con. Like they do the Kyle con. Have you seen
I've seen the Kyle con.
Yeah. Like in Texas or whatever?
Yeah, where the 4-year-old like won the lightsaber duel against all the other people or something.
Mm-hmm. So yes, Grink and Winning Time.
Went to Genesis.
Went to a con.
With?
The Smash Bros. Con.
Former guest, Rebecca's little brother, King Duck.
Yeah.
That's his handle?
King Duck? King Duck fucking owns.
Yeah, King Duck.
King Duck is pretty good. Because that also just allows for, like, really unique, like, if he doesn't have an avatar already, like, you know, the ways that you could draw that character or whatever, a King Duck.
Yeah, it's, imagine, I guess, a Animal Crossing villager with a duck bill on it and a sword. That's the avatar he drew for himself.
So Genesis happens every year in San Jose, right?
Yeah.
And it's the biggest Smash Brothers tournament
of the year.
It's always been that way since it started.
Basically, it was, like, tied with Evo, but since 2018, right. Melee's not in Evo anymore.
Yes, because Nintendo's really dumb with the way, like,
yes.
Evo probably would still be the biggest tournament if Nintendo wasn't weird.
Right.
Yeah.
But Genesis is our grassroots thing that we've built up in this big way.
So Nintendo allows that to happen, or has there ever been any legal complications there?
Not with Genesis. There has been with Big House, which is like our fall second biggest one, where if Genesis is WrestleMania, Big House is SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. But there was trouble because we tried to do it, I think, online or something. And we were streaming it online. The old rule set allowed one of their stages to be frozen to be more competitive. But since it was frozen, it was clearly a modded version of the game.
Okay.
So we've had to go back to the normal rule set where Pokemon Stadium's unfrozen and the transformations happen.
That's where Nintendo has issues because it's like a 20-plus-year-old game and people want to say like, oh, can we do these minor fixes? And then it's like, no.
No, because that's not the game anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Then you're doing illegal, violating the terms of service.
Yeah.
First thing on entering, is that the San Jose Convention Center or where is it at?
Yeah, it's at the San Jose Convention Center. And then on Sunday, it was the Civic Center, which is right across the street.
Is that like downtown San Jose? Yeah. What's the vibes like down there? What's the food like?
So with King Duck, he's a kosher man.
Okay.
So we just basically got cheese pizza both days.
You guys were on the pure gamer diet.
Yeah. And there was a guy out there who was offering free Red Bulls. Mm-hmm. If you chug them when you get them. So Grink took down 3 of those.
At once?
No.
Over the course of the day.
Yeah.
Getting cracked out like a power lifter or something taking, what's the sniffers that people do?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it
the smelling salts?
Yeah, smelling salts. Just to like shock to your system before lock in.
He was pretty amped for top 8 because he just took one then.
No rules. What's the smell upon what? So the first day was Friday.
Yeah.
You didn't play.
No.
But Grink did.
Grink did.
What time was his pools?
2:30 in the afternoon.
So you got there before?
Yeah, we got there at like noon.
Okay. What was the vibes like?
First was just me and him warming up together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we each got more comfortable out of our shell and separated and go find other people to play.
Mm.
And then he played at 2:30. It was not much there. I think I played a Sheik all that day. Who I was better than. It's funny, playing friendlies with people, I think there was only 2 other guys who were better than me consistently besides Grink.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel pretty good about that. And I feel like the results in tournament showed that as well. He had to play the second seed of his pool, which was this player named Fuzziness, who is a fox, who is like a former top 5 player in Europe.
Okay.
Game 1, he brought it back kind of in game 1 and made it competitive. And then game 2, just like, did bad brain dead approaches in the corner, so got abused.
If my experience with fighting games, I imagine it translates a little bit where there's an aspect of a lower skill player can take a game or two off a higher skill player
mm-hmm.
in a shorter set because you're going to be doing things, you're going to be playing at a speed or in a way that is not, they're not used to.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like you're going to like they're because so much of fighting games is predicting what your opponent is going to do in any given situation. It's like, oh, they have 3 to 5 options or whatever. And they're most likely to do these given mm-hmm. the circumstances. So what often happens that I've witnessed in tournaments is like, yes, a lower seeded player will take a game or two off, or in Smash case, a stock.
Yeah.
A couple stocks off a player, but then by game two...
You've been downloaded.
You've been downloaded is the expression, yes. The it's been figured out. They see what you're... Oh, they're always going to press this button in this situation, so I can just easily counter or whatever.
I did notice that...
Oh my goodness.
That got too hot.
I guess they're testing something. I don't know. That was my smoke alarm.
You're going to have a lot of angry people getting woken up to that.
There's no smoke in here. Well, no, I mean, it's 9 a.m. I think probably most people are awake, but...
Well, I think some people just got to sleep because they're battling demons all night.
Yes, that's true. Have a respectable game or a respectable set against a number two seeded opponent.
Yes.
Yeah.
In Losers, he went up against this giant schlubby guy named Big Schmoke.
Big Schmoke?
Who... was probably also like 6'2", 6'3", blonde, beard, shades on the whole time, like a certain fourth grader we know.
Hell yeah.
And he looked like he was going to be the coolest guy, and he played Captain Falcon, and he just dash danced in the corner forever. And Brink gets very tilted in tournament.
Yeah.
And he's said, quote, I'm down to just lose my way I play and have fun than to win the tournament way.
In this case... Because the way Smash Brothers works, it's like they're like 7 or 8 minute games in Melee.
Yeah, it's an 8 minute timer, but me and Grink play Fastfaller, so right. Thus it's like 2 minute games.
So how this guy was playing, it was like it was gonna be a 6 minute game.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like you would have had to grind it out
just
to get the dub, and it's like that's so exhausting.
Yeah.
And so annoying.
Yes.
Yeah.
that's our approach to it.
Yeah.
So 0-2 for Grink. And that was competitive Friday. The rest of Friday was playing other friendlies all day. I think there was a Utah Fox player that I beat with Kirby. So that was fun. I just was so much better than him. I was just rotating characters on him.
So obviously you guys were there to play and spending a lot of time playing casuals and stuff.
Yeah.
Was there... but this is like the biggest Smash Brothers event. So there's probably plenty of like... Was there any like unique like showcase things going on, showcase matches or unique like artist alley type stuff that you guys went and checked out or anything like that?
So there was a cosplay contest that was available in a different hall. There was also it was right next to the overstimulated room that was just dark and playing low music.
No shit. They had a legit tism room. That fucking owns.
Yeah, tism room. that rules. Yeah.
Hell yeah. That might be a standard thing now at bigger conventions. I'm not a con guy in general. Mm-hmm. The biggest show I've been to, shit, I don't know if I've actually even been to like a proper convention. I've been to like some locals that were like, you know, 100 guys in a room.
Yeah.
But there was never, for fighting games, I've never been to anything bigger than that.
I know at SAC Anime, there was also the TISM room.
They have that same, maybe that's just a standard thing now. They just recognize,
So that... And then the other games besides Ultimate and Melee, Rivals of Aether 2 was a tournament that happened.
Aether or Ether?
I think it's Aether. I don't know. I see an A and I'm just like, A.
Same. The new Magic set is Aether Drift.
Oh, okay.
But it's A-E-T-H.
Sure. Yeah, it's probably Aether.
And in Final Fantasy, they use the term, you know, Aether a lot, but it's to describe like your mana or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then there was a lot of other secret side events. Like there was a Brawl tournament. There was a Project M, which is this fusion clone of Melee and Brawl. Mm-hmm. There was a couple of N64 Melee setup or N64 Smash setups.
Yeah.
And then the beginning of the room is a bunch of merch like plushies and controller mod stuff and stickers and what have you. And then right behind that was a bunch of arcade cabinets like... There's a bunch of DDR stuff, some Tetris stuff, racing game stuff. Pretty stacked for just things that happen. And the cosplay contest was the only like separate thing that was happening at the same time.
Did you guys check any of that stuff out, or was this all just like in the periphery and you're mostly focused on just getting games in?
Mainly just getting games in because it wasn't in the same room.
Oh, okay.
I think there might have been more glances if it wasn't in the same room.
Yeah.
Friday was all of doubles. Mm-hmm. So we got to see top players walking around do their double sets, but there wasn't really anyone, like a top player wasn't just like handing out casual matches.
Yeah.
Because sometimes Melee players will do money matches with fans.
Right.
So that you get pay $5 to get beaten 2-0 real quick.
I like that they do it like they're charging you for the privilege to play.
Basically. And
maybe that's a common thing in other games. I haven't heard of that before.
Back in the day, Mewtwo King mm-hmm. would do only $1 money matches, and he would just buy plane tickets that way because he'd just do 250 of them in the row.
Just pay for his travel that way?
Yeah.
He's like, all right, Friday night, I'm going to get my plane ticket in.
Yeah.
That's pretty smart. Obviously, the expenditure to travel to these tournaments, that's the toughest part. I don't know if I mentioned it on here last week or the week before, but like, it's only going to get more expensive to travel and stuff. So it's cool that we do live in California where like you can just jump in a car.
Yeah.
And be there in a couple hours, you know?
And then also it being in San Jose, I didn't have to pay for a hotel.
Right.
Because Rebecca's family lives there.
Yeah.
Because some people had to play. I just had to pay for entry, which was exorbitant at $140.
Yeah.
Any other time it's been like $5, maybe 15 max. And then
yeah, other for locals and stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. You go to those bigger tournaments like an Evo and it's a couple $100.
But then people
have $100
pay for plane tickets and hotel. Yeah. And
was there a thought like, cause it's kind of like going to Disneyland or something. Like,
sure.
You know, there's an aspect of, as far as like your lodgings, right? Like, did you have a thought that like, oh, it'd be nice if I like my hotel room was right there. So then I could easily just walk back and forth. Or were you happy to have like the comfy bed and like a real fridge full of real food to go home to?
If I didn't have what I have, I would definitely pay extra to be with the Marriott that's right next to the center, so I could just like it's 10 feet away.
Yeah.
But since I had the option for free, yeah. I take that all the time,
yeah.
And also just come home to a home cooked meal instead of paying even more money for food.
Yeah, buying Chipotle or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is Chipotle, was there a food sponsor for the event?
Was there?
Was there like an official, were they giving away gift cards or anything like that?
I think they were. I think there was what they call ladders, which are like once you go O2, you then enter another bracket for fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the top prize was a gift card. But I think it was just like, I think it was unaffiliated with the event. It might have been just to like Taco Bell down the street or whatever.
Got you. The big thing with Evo the last couple of years is they have Chipotle as a sponsor. And if you win your pool, you get a $100 gift card to Chipotle. If you get out of pools. So like that's like the bragging rights. Is like guys will be walking around taking pictures with their cards because they got out of their pool.
Nice.
Which is pretty sick.
Yeah, the last big sponsor I know with Melee was the Feastables chocolate bars.
Oh, okay. Mr. Beast was in on it. Is that Mr. Beast?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
because Ludwig, who's a big time streamer above Smash, started in Melee, so he collaborates with Moist Critical and Mr. Beast for sponsoring tournaments.
Right, that's interesting. I didn't know. Like, I've seen some of Ludwig stuff in recent months. I didn't know he was a Smash guy.
Yeah, we're fucking beefing, dude. We're fucking beefing, Ludwig. Also, how the fuck did his hair grow so fast? Didn't he buzz his hair at the same time that I did? Is this an old clip?
Don't take my girl. Don't take my girl, Hassan, please. Please, Hassan. It's all I have. Please, Hassan. All right, you get everybody else, you know? Everybody else has fucking mods. Just come on, man. Just come on, man. Just give me this one. We're cool. I do the same thing. I do the same thing. We're cool. Just streamers being streamers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes these people just show up and I'm like, I don't know. They're all like IRL streamers living in LA now.
That's me with like every other one of those guys, but just Ludwig. I remember when he was like the best friend of like a Melee commentator was how he started. And he was just the guy who presses A better than everybody else. Mm-hmm. And I watched him get the world record of Mario Party 2.
How long do you think that stuff's going to last? The IRL streaming? Do you think that's here?
I think it's forever. I mean, okay.
Until the end of the empire, or like, is that money going to dry up at some point?
I think it's here because, I mean, also recent events this weekend, NBA All-Star Weekend.
Yes.
Which for basketball enjoyers was horrible because the All-Star game was a 3-hour broadcast where only 39 minutes of basketball was played.
Nice.
Because it was mainly a Kevin Hart special.
Okay. Was he a commentator?
He was more than a commentator. He would be doing bits. Like, he'd pause the game and, like, tell jokes.
Okay. He was in the game, but he was mic'd up.
Yeah, and he wasn't playing basketball. He would just, like, literally just do funny things. He wasn't playing basketball, but he was mic'd up and just paused the game and do shit.
Was he a referee?
No.
He was just a guy.
He was an entertainer just during the game.
Incredible.
Yeah, it was So not only was that on Friday,
and that's different. That's with. Do they still have the actual NBA? Well, just real quick, let's finish Genesis.
Sure.
So Saturday, you got to play.
Saturday, I played Mango. The whole thing was...
You got to suck off your hero.
Yeah. Mango was...
Who is Mango, for those that aren't familiar?
Mango is the greatest Melee player of all time. The way I described the experience to other people was, imagine if there is a Open in tennis that's more prestigious than Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And your first opponent was Roger Federer.
Right, yes. I think that's how you described it before. I've been telling people it's basically like... Yeah, it's essentially, you know, meeting Tom Brady or whatever.
Yes, I got to have a throwing contest with Tom Brady.
Yes.
And just, you know, get out-cannoned by 45-year-old Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes sense because Mango's 33, which is pretty old for competitive gaming.
Is he still crushing beers on stream?
Is
that still a thing? Where
Drunk December's still here.
Wait, what is Drunk December? He's just drunk all of December?
Yeah, he's just drunk all of December.
What a role model.
Yeah.
But
dude,
that's what you can only get in like the fighting game community is like people that are like true degenerates in a way, but are like just so good at video game. Because it's a solo enterprise. You're not dependent on anybody else, right? There's no team to speak of besides maybe sponsors or something.
Well, if you're like a top player, you do like Mango's part of C9.
There's like orgs and stuff.
Yeah, there's orgs. Yeah.
For sure. But I think they just like cover travel expenses and that sort of stuff for them probably, right?
Yeah. And people like Left and Hungry with some Mango who are super big, they're not only paid like as a competitor, but as a streamer because they have enough base there. But you know, Mango, because he's the only cool guy who like parties and drinks, whereas in Melee we have this thing called like Five Gods back in the day where only five players won every tournament.
Gotcha.
The other four were either super nerdy, cringe, or just robots.
Yes.
So there was a documentary that basically tried to almost villainize Mango because he was a chill... Because
he's semi-normal?
Yeah, because he was just a 16-year-old who partied because he was like younger than all of them, except for Hungry Box. Like, oh, he's a bad role model for kids because he drinks.
Has he made it out? Because there was the whole Smash Purge of 2020.
Well, yeah, he didn't touch children on those guys.
He made it out clean without any accusations or anything?
Well, yeah, because since 2011, he's been with Lauren, his girlfriend.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah. All right.
Whereas, I'm... So there was a bunch of commentators and players who got purged in 2020.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised Hungrybox survived, but I guess that's because when you're at the top level, everything goes away.
Sure.
Yeah, that was the first top player I saw just in passing. And yeah, he's chatting up two girls on each side of him.
Nice.
Just like standard Juan.
Is he an attractive man? Or is he just
he's a schlubby Argentinian.
Is he as normal as you can be as a professional Smash Brothers player?
No, he's not normal. He's very cringe, but... And he just cries all the time.
Okay. All right. He's emotional. He wears his heart on his sleeve.
But
if we were commentating, he would be a very...
But it's always, like, not genuine. It's always an act because he does all this shit and cry. And then it wouldn't be, like, he hasn't won in 3 years. He wins Genesis, spoiler. he hasn't won in 3 years, so it's fine. He wins and it can be emotional, all that.
Yeah.
But to turn it into, during the Ultimate stream... Be like, hey, everything I won, I'm going to host an event. It's a 4-day event where I'm putting all the money back into it. And it's going to be an online, like, in these five regions. It's just like, that fucker always has a plan for his theatrics.
Mm-hmm.
Piss me off. Anyway, I met Mango.
You got to meet Mango, who is also a Philadelphia Eagles super fan.
Yeah, so he was coming off a Super Bowl win.
Mm-hmm. You guys were both coming in just extremely juiced.
Yeah, he saw me in my AJ Brown jersey, and he just thought immediately I was a cool guy.
Yeah.
What's up, Driz? I was around with the Dawkins jersey, my man. What's up, baby?
Yeah. So the first person he sees is his like modder because he left his controller at the airport. Classic.
So he's a day late. Because he was supposed to get on Friday or something, or there's something about his flight getting delayed.
Yeah, he wanted to come in Friday night, which I think he did still, but he didn't have to come up till Saturday because that's when his pool was.
Mm. Well, we didn't say, because so Melee wasn't the biggest tournament. Ultimate was, right? Melee had more entrants, okay.
500.
So how many entrants total did Melee have?
1,071.
Do you know how many pools there were?
Like 64.
Okay, so there's a 1 in 64 chance that you would even be in the same pool as this guy.
Yes.
And not only that, but the stars aligned.
Where I'm the first guy.
Where you predicted, because of you being relatively unknown in the way seating works in these tournaments, you're going to be at the bottom, he's going to be at the top, obviously. Yeah. and your first round opponent didn't even show up. So you didn't even have to win because you were saying you needed to beat someone in order to see him. But you just got pushed right then.
Yeah.
So you could have shown up half lit yourself and been...
Well, then I would have been DQ'd and then Mega would
have. Oh, right.
Because that was... So you wait half an hour... Okay. Until they allow start hidden DQs.
Gotcha.
So me and Mango had to wait a bit before we could play.
Gotcha. So did you get more time then to just sit around and like BS with them, or what was the
dynamic? Every other top player can just walk freely without a crowd.
Right.
Mango is enough of a draw where I talked to him briefly because he just saw me and we're just like eagles.
Yeah.
But then I backed off so that other people could chirp with him.
I've heard this described before from different like fighting game people, and like when they're at events, even when they're like working, it's like as soon as they hit the floor, there's just people constantly coming up for photos and autographs.
Yes,
or whatever.
He probably took like 45 photos before we played.
Before you even played,
it's crazy. And he has like 101 degree fever at the time, and he's just so patient and the nicest guy.
Is he the one that got you sick?
Yeah, I fist bumped him, and I'm assuming that's how I got sick. But yeah, and I knew that I had the Dawkins jersey in my backpack, so I don't need to talk to him right now. I can let other people have a chance.
You're like, I'm going to have my moment.
Yeah. So I don't want to be someone who's constantly on him when other people are like waiting.
Yeah.
So we sit down to play. I put in our theme song for game one. And the first two stocks,
I was... Oh, because you have your earbuds.
I have my earbuds now.
Yeah.
First two stocks, I was terrible because I was like still just like... Like, I wasn't like sweating... But I was just like, man, this guy is a lot fucking faster than Cade. Then, around stock three, I started to be like, what if I just... I'm Fox, he's Falco, he's just another Falco. Which, he's obviously fucking not, but just it helped me to get a stock off him.
To forget who is sitting next to you.
Yeah. The whole time I was playing, I didn't look at him.
Yeah.
That
would be really weird if, like,
you
stared him down every time he took a stock off of you.
Yeah, that'd be funny. Game two, I'm listening to the Red Scare song, All the Things She Said.
I like that that's how you described that. You described it to me in the same way.
Yeah.
So that's a real, I listened to, the podcast universe already was well established by the time I got into high school.
Yeah.
So the fucking hit 2001 track or whatever, Tattoos, All the Things She Said is the Red Scare song.
Oh, I heard it way before I heard Red Scare.
Okay.
I was doing that for other people.
Got you. Okay. I've never listened to Red Scare.
Oh, I feel like you'd like it.
The truth is, I listened to Dasha on Doom Scroll the other day.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I mentioned it on here. It's Joshua Citarella. He does he's a guy who's been online for a while. He's got some degrees, and he basically has spent the last 4 to 6 years like researching like weird ideologies online, like because kids are getting into these weird spaces on Discord where they're just like saying, I'm an anarchist, libertarian with Marxist tendencies or what, like just all this crazy, insane, shit. And he had Dasha on there on his podcast recently, and it was kind of revealing because she's like voted for Trump and stuff. And, whatever, like I don't care.
Yeah.
But it was this idea of like, oh, she actually doesn't know anything. Like she's actually just like a dumb person. And like, that's fine. But like, a podcast that like was at one point seemingly left leaning or something because they were like Bernie people, I guess, her co-host. It's the thing where like you take the post-ironic, like none of everything about American politics is a circus, but then you're still going to be like not vocally, like you can be ironic in a way, but like not when like the real Nazi shit is happening. You kind of have to like be able to talk about things and not be like, whatever, shoulder shrug.
LARPed too hard,
yes, and became a fascist.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So anyways, you had the... I love that this is your playlist. The
intro to our podcast.
Oh, was that just random?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So the podcast song and then...
Yeah, I had
all
a song.
The things you said.
I had a song... I had a playlist of like 20 songs.
Yeah.
And I hit random on it, and those were the two that came up.
Nice.
Second game, I played a lot better. I was able to run around and get little... just run and gun hits on them.
And then I show up, and I had to play some people in round one. Anyone who knew I was fighting for my life, I had a harder time in my round one pool than everything up until top eight.
I took another stock, which most of his round one opponents are getting double quadroed.
Yeah.
I'm happy I took two stocks off him.
Respectable.
Yeah. And then I immediately, because we were waiting for Shuckle to get DQ'd, had to play another match against this Falco named Chet. And he had two goons behind him, like... chirping and cheering for him.
Yeah.
And trying to troll me.
Your earbuds weren't blocking that out?
So game one, they were and I won. Uh-huh. Game two, I had to like take them out to, you know, tell them my ban. And when I put them back in, they didn't just play.
Oh, okay.
So game two, I heard all their fucking shit and I lost game two.
Yeah.
And in game three, music back on, win that set.
Yeah.
So I did not go 0-2. And if you go by placement, I went 2-2.
We need to start going to that local again. It's on Saturdays now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Fire and Ice. We need to start going. I need to start.
Do they have Melee brackets still?
They do.
Oh, okay.
They have Smash for sure. Or I'm pretty sure they have Melee.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely more Ultimate focus, but.
Because Grink was telling me that it stopped doing Melee.
They might have stopped it temporarily or something.
Okay. I mean,
now that they moved to Saturday, they have more time. I know Alma was struggling with setups and stuff. But basically, you talking about this has gotten me juiced up again. Because there is an aspect of playing, even like a local tournament, right? That's just super fun. And like, even if you go 0-2, like playing for keeps rather than just like queuing up online or whatever, like a ranked match or whatever you're playing.
Dude, and all these fucking kids are on Slippy, which is this direct Melee online system.
Yeah.
Me and Grink don't have that.
Yeah.
And we're playing on dinosaur controllers.
Why haven't you gotten on Slippy? You just don't care for it or?
I don't care for it. And like, I don't want to put the time in to like have a proper Ethernet setup.
Oh, okay.
I'm a caveman. You are such
such a fucking Luddite. It's incredible.
Yeah. I'm a caveman with caveman technology.
You're like, this is fucking bullshit.
Well, and also Genesis was supposed to be mine and Grink's like last tournament. We were going to like quit the game after this.
This was supposed to be like the swan song. Yes, this was the...
Then Saturday was so, you know, childlike fun for us.
Yeah.
That, like, and Kate was playing this better Falco named Mosquito.
Uh-huh.
And she was beating him. And it's like, no, you're actually really good. Just like... I used to, like, she was telling him that she went on hiatus for a while and then came back, got Slippy, and got better.
Yeah.
And she, like, was really gassing Grink up.
Yeah.
And now Grink's like, okay, maybe I should try to actually take this seriously again.
I mean, it's playing anything competitively as adult, as a hobby, is kind of cringe.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, what are you competing for?
Right.
But
right.
As long as you're finding it fun and
torture.
It's just not completely like, What I really love about tournament play is those nerves. Because you don't really get that in anything else.
Yeah.
The closest thing is like asking a girl out. Like sure. as far as the level of adrenaline pumping through your veins. Because I love the I had forgotten. I've played in a few bigger locals here in Sacramento, and I made a playlist myself for those tournaments.
Yeah.
And part of it is like I cannot have any outside stimuli happen.
Yeah.
If I can hear anybody else, I'm completely distracted.
Yeah, I get tilted.
Yes.
And so I was more nervous playing that game three against that guy than I was against my next opponent who beat me named Jake Spear and Mango. I was way less nervous playing them than playing this guy that I should beat.
Yeah.
And thankfully I did. And I know if Shuckle showed up, I was going to beat him. So I would have gone 2-2, but
if you're out there listening, Shuckle,
in Japan,
it's an open fucking challenge.
Yeah, come back to America.
Yes. Oh, were they an international player?
Yeah,
they probably missed a flight too,
or something.
Maybe you have to thank Trump for your victory. Maybe that was something, his firing of all the FAA people, or.
No, I'm mad at Trump because a Spanish peach player beat Mango.
Oh.
He didn't stop the one that needed to be stopped.
Gotcha.
So Trump actually failed me. As an American, I could say that.
So the rest of Saturday...
It was so fun. It was just...
just chilling and then...
And then I played Mango's modder, and I was beating him up, and...
His modder?
Yeah, his controller modder.
Oh, okay. Is that a known figure in the...
He's not a known guy.
How did you know he was his controller modder?
So...
Is he walking around with, like, a chain that says, like, I...
No, when Mango walked in... That was the first person I saw talk to Mango. Oh,
okay.
And when I sit down next to him, like, hey, do you want to be friendly? He's like, Driz, and I'm like... How do you know who I am?
Yeah.
He's like, I watch you play Mango. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
And we played.
That's cool to get someone to just like mention your tag and you're like, wait, how the fuck do you know who I am?
Yeah.
I'm like an anonymous person at
right,
this show.
Right, yeah. And we played for like an hour, hour and a half, and it was really fun.
Hell yeah.
And then Saturday we watched Top 64 for the people to get in, and it was like perfect. Everyone we wanted to win, everyone we wanted to win lose. Cade at one point takes off his sweatshirt and loses his badge.
Yeah.
So we were freaking out about that. I was offering to the controller modder I mentioned. His name's Oniex on Twitter.
Oniex.
And I'm like, hey, you can have my backpack as like collateral. Can I get your badge to just bring Grink back in?
You just have to flash it kind of thing.
Right, yeah. And he's like, yeah, sure. And as I'm running to Grink, he's like, no, 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 security's going to help me. I'm like, security's never there to help you. And he waved off my plan, and he got fucked.
Did he not make it in for the rest of the show? Or no, you said he bought a day pass or something.
For Sunday. For the rest of Saturday, he was frozen out.
He was just hanging out.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's also, you know, it was your guys' first time going to Genesis. First time at any tournament even approaching that size.
Yes.
Had you guys gone to locals prior to Genesis, or was it always just you and him in the bathroom playing until you, or playing in your bedroom until you guys decided to start slugging each other? And then it was like, all right, I guess we're done playing Melee for a couple of weeks.
I think we've been to 4 or 5 locals together.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think he got 3rd at one of them.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sunday, having fun in the venue, watching top 8. Again, it was all going well, and then Mango lost game 5 to this peach named Triff. But then in Losers, he had a game 5 set against Cody, who was number 2 in the world, and people were posting screenshots on their phone about getting, like, noise warnings, because it was reaching over 100 decibels in there, us screaming for Mango.
It was just so loud.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When it got to Peach Puff for Grands, me and a wave of people walked out, and during that time, there was a top 20 player named Fiction just walking around the Melee friendlies, and like no one was talking to him. So I'm like, hey Shep, do you want to play? And he's like, yeah, sure. And I just got to play with a top 20 player for 40 minutes. And that was like the secret best part of this.
One moment. We have a fire inspection happening here today, so they have to look at the sprinklers or something and make sure they're not broken.
Yeah, shout-outs to Fiction for just playing me for 40 minutes. And that was Sunday, and then I came back for Ultimate Top 4. And the crowd was just as loud, but, like, way less toxic and not saying random shit, which I think is part of the charm of Melee, but it was also just more pleasant probably for everyone.
Melee probably, I mean, because that game's been around forever. I think anything that released in the mid-aughts is never going to have zero toxicity in that way. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Counter-Strike is very similar.
Yes,
Because that was just the culture that game originally had, and it's very difficult to move away from that. Yeah. Even like older, like Street Fighter games will have that in some ways, but also the games were just designed in such a way where you could just fuck people up. And, and then like, it's like, there's a famous Street Fighter video where it's just a couple of guys singing. It's like, somebody's getting fucked. Get fucked. Get fucked. Somebody's
getting fucked. That made its way to Melee too.
That's the shit that's why you have your headphones in. So you don't, like those guys are behind you just fucking.
Well, nowadays in like the last 10 years, top players actually got to be, like, on a stage away from the crowd.
Yeah.
Because people are, like, playing in top 8 and just, like, literally, like, in their backs are people just screaming against you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was Genesis.
Very cool.
9 out of 10 time. 10 out of 10 if someone besides Hungrybox won. And then, like, 14 out of 10 if Mango somehow won.
I'm glad you guys had a good time. I'm glad you were able to get out of there with only a minor sickness.
Yeah. Gamer Pox was going around.
The Gamer Pox.
I found myself with this and the Eagles when Trump got elected the first time and when COVID hit, that's when my life was kind of the best. I don't know why everyone's suffering made my life.
2020 was the best year of my life, dude. I shit you not.
Nice.
And it's like, I mean, mostly because I didn't have to work.
Yeah, sure.
I got very lucky and I got on unemployment like mid-April.
Oh, okay.
And so I was, and the unemployment stuff was like, you know, it was more than I'd been on unemployment before, which was like, you know, like $300 every 2 weeks.
Was that back in Idaho or still in Sacramento?
I think I had gotten it a little bit in Sacramento. Yeah.
Okay.
But it was like, it was like $1,000 every 2 weeks. I was making more money on unemployment than I'd ever had working 40 plus hours a week.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And like, not only that, but I had all this time to like, you know, pursue hobbies and like enjoy my life and, you know, whatever. Yeah, that was the craziest thing like about that entire year is like I know a lot of people unfortunately, you know, depending on where you worked had to keep going into work and that kind of stuff, but yeah. Yeah. Everyone else is freaking out, and I'm just sitting there chilling, like leveling my eighth job in Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Just fucking having a good time.
Yeah, pandemic, I got to move in with Rebecca and then transfer from Oregon State to Sac State and just did online school with no job.
That was all in 2020 that happened. Yeah. It's weird, man. I don't feel like much time has passed at all.
It's crazy to think that's like, it was kind of 5 years ago almost now.
It doesn't, and it, yeah. No. I don't know.
Like 2 years ago.
I think part of that is there was a sign of like progress, it felt like, when I was younger,
mm-hmm.
in society as a whole. Granted, as I've gotten older, I've been like, oh, nothing has really changed.
Yeah.
But there was a brief period of time in like the early 2010s where I was like, oh, like things are getting better year after year.
Marriage is legalized.
Yeah. Love wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. We felt, if it definitely feels like a holding pattern for the last 8 or so years.
Yeah. Oh, you mentioned earlier about, do you think the IRL streaming was going to be around forever?
Yeah.
And
mostly the money behind it. Like, I get people will always be following people online, but there's an aspect of them all getting together to do things. And I'm like, I don't know, this feels like it won't be around forever. I don't know.
So Kevin Hart was Sunday, because that's a mainstream guy who is like with the NBA players.
During the actual, like the game with the real NBA players.
Yes.
Because I saw parts of the celebrity All-Star game.
Yes, which was on Friday, and the main stars of that game, according to online, were Kai Cenat and Drewski.
Kai Cenat was in that? Nice.
Yeah. Everyone was just wondering how those two would play, and those two were trying to be just as like funny as possible
during the game. But they're not like... They're just like guys. They're not.
Yeah.
They're not athletes.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it showed.
I saw Bailey miss a layup.
But she also.
That was my only highlight. She also D'd up some old retired player. I forget his name.
Yeah. Oh no, that wasn't just. Well, I saw Bailey hit a three in practice.
Oh, okay.
I saw an Instagram reel of her hitting a three in practice. But yeah, and then someone else won the MVP, and both like. As they were announcing who the All-Star Game MVP was, Drewski and Kai both tried to approach the trio feed and like put on a big like surprise shocked face that they didn't win it because they sucked ass at basketball.
They busted the same bit.
Yeah. Yes, that is where IRL streaming is going. It's just like the NBA has a big problem with branding itself around basketball.
Mm-hmm.
It's trying to get this 12-year-old demographic that doesn't watch TV
into
the NBA.
Yeah.
When people who like basketball are so ready to give money to just watch basketball,
yeah.
But they're ignoring it, much like Democrats.
I think there's an aspect of like just trying to capture new markets, right? You want to like continue that growth, and these companies, these sports organizations, sports leagues see how much money there is that these guys are pulling in. You know, Kai Cenat has however many million viewers on all his stuff. So how do we get those eyes on our stuff? And it works. I mean, I think it worked for WWE when he showed up and...
If I Show Speed, Logan?
I Show Speed, yeah. When I Show Speed showed up and like, just got laid the fuck out. I don't think Logan Paul gets viewers. I don't think he's a thing anymore. Maybe he is. He has a podcast and stuff, but like, I think there's always going to be people that follow those individuals, but I don't know if they're generating new... Like, are 12-year-olds following Logan Paul? Is that a thing? I think he's old now. I think he's like for like the Zoomers that are like 22 years old.
Yeah.
They're a Logan Paul people, but I don't think the 13-year-olds are getting into Logan Paul.
But that's what, going back to the NBA, that's what I'm thinking though, is just like there are 25 to 17-year-olds that just enjoy basketball and don't need Drewski in their basketball.
We don't have, there are no celebrities anymore. There are no new celebrities besides streamers and influencers.
Yeah.
So you're going to get these people that aren't really good at doing the PR stuff of like being in public. I mean, they are when they're like around their people or whatever, but like they're not professionally trained actors that like are used to being in like these movies or whatever. You know, 20 years ago, you would get like Hayden Christensen out there, you know, the Star Wars people or
Justin
whatever.
Justin Timberlake.
Yes. But those people don't exist anymore. So I don't know.
Well, the big one for the celebrity game was always Win Butler, who was the lead singer of Arcade Fire.
Okay.
And he was actually, like, good at basketball and just won the MVP every time.
Was just out there balling.
And the former, like, Secretary of Education would also just get, like, 20 and 10 every celebrity game.
Who was that? Do you know the name?
I don't remember the name.
Just out there fucking hustling.
Yeah.
We should get more former politicians out in the public eye more. That'd be more fun.
Dude, since I was 9, I'm like, how is there not celebrity wipeout?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
They have that in Britain, but it's all like, you know, Britain, who cares? Who's them?
We need to see like AOC versus like Chuck Schumer.
Yeah.
Just like take it off the Senate floor and then put it in like the...
Make Shapiro run that course.
Yeah, the celebrity. Yeah, all these weirdo young dudes, they're like in their 30s or whatever. But all these younger guys that are super like fit freaks that are like in the Senate now and stuff. Yeah, we need to have like some lifting competition. Like Paul Ryan can host it.
Yeah.
Because he's the retired guy now or whatever. Yeah, yeah. I think he's like a seed oil guy now too, if I remember right. He's gotten into like some weirdo like health stuff.
Speaking of retired guys, I didn't know that Vince McMahon was just at the Super Bowl.
Oh, was he? What was he doing?
Just watching, you know, being rich. Mm. But all those cases apparently doesn't affect him too much, and he's not too concerned about staying in the public eye.
Is he currently under, like, are there lawsuits out against him?
I don't know. They might have been all paid out already, and he just can't come back to really show his face in WWE anymore.
Yeah. But I was enjoying watching the little bits of the celebrity basketball. That's the thing, is like the All-Star game itself doesn't really matter, right? Like it's not.
Not really, no.
Didn't they try and do a thing for a while? Or was this in baseball where like whoever won got like home field advantage or
advantage? That is baseball. The winner conference gets home field advantage for the World Series.
That's so weird. Because it's not like a real game.
You know what's funny? I feel like that would make more sense for the NBA.
Yeah.
Than baseball, because baseball, like, there are better teams, and I think a lot of times the better team wins, but just kind of shit happens in baseball, especially a celebrity game or all-star game.
The reason why playoffs in baseball aren't a single game is because it's a game meant to be played over a series. Like,
right.
The whole strategy comes from, like, pitching rotations and stuff So having a single game doesn't make any fucking sense.
Well, yeah. Well, the World Series is not a single game.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so, like, the fact that this all-star game, like, determines anything is very weird. But baseball is also kind of the only sport you can do that in, because there is like very little contact in baseball compared to other sports, whereas like if you're trying to like make basketball count or something, guys are gonna end up getting hurt trying to take charges and stuff. What else is going on, dude?
Let's see, there's the All-Star game, Genesis, and have you been seeing on Twitter this news story of like a bride who gets mad the fact that a baby's like crying during her wedding when she asked for like no kids to be at her wedding?
No.
I'm kind of with the bride on that one. If I ask for adults only at my reception,
and you bring a baby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're getting kicked out.
Was this just like the Twitter post of the week or something like
that? I guess,
Someone was going off about it. The only times now I get on Twitter and I just get Nazi shit. Like I really don't see anything of value. It's like a few companies that I follow, like fighting game stick creators and stuff like that. Like, they're still posting, but like any of like the posters, anything besides like news headlines, there's really nothing going on that website anymore.
No.
It's tough to see anything.
But yeah, that was just, I've seen enough people post about that specifically where it's like news story of the week maybe.
I thought we were going to be talking about one of the new Elon surrogate.
SpaceX?
No, the surrogate.
He made a new kid. Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
and I say made.
Yeah. You know, he's not fucking any of these girls.
No, which is more perverted.
It's crazy. He's just sending them his semen and like a check.
Yeah.
And saying and a contract.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane. And it's all heirs, right? It's all male heirs to the throne.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's using the IVF stuff to like genetically engineer his children.
Yeah.
Fucking insane shit.
I don't get how we're just not killing this guy. Not to go all Bill Burr, but like...
No, it is 100%. Like, Bill, like what was the Bill Burr quote that's been going around? He's like,
billionaires should be hunted down like dogs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Like, there's just not... Like, the thing is that we just have too many treats for the true psychopaths to like... Like, I spent so much time in World of Warcraft this winter.
Yeah.
You know? And if World of Warcraft didn't exist, who knows what I could accomplish?
Yeah.
You know? I have 2 level 60s. It's funny. 18 days played total between those two characters. 18 days of my life in the last 90 days I've spent playing that video game. I get like, so much done.
Without WoW, what could I get done? Me and Grink talk about all the time, like, man, if we both, when we were kids, knew we were going to be 6'2", we'd actually just be kings of the world.
Why is that?
Because just, I don't know, we have this perception
I want to hear the short guy fantasy. You're not short. You are average height, as we said at the beginning of this podcast.
But just like...
5'9", right?
5'9 for him, 5'8 for me.
5'8 and... Are you 5'8 flat?
I'm 5'8.
5'8 flat.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah. And he's like 5'9 and a half.
Okay. That half matters.
I'm just saying, if you want it... He says 5'9". He looks to me a lot taller than me. Well, so I think it's 5'9 and a half.
That's the little brother syndrome of like you were constantly...
Looking up?
Physically and metaphorically looking up to your big brother in some ways. Yeah.
I have a lot more tiny Feith genes in me, which is my mom's side.
Okay, yeah.
Little tiny Mormons. just if he stuck to baseball or golf and I stuck to soccer, but we both got into basketball.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the misplay.
So if you were 6 feet tall, it might have worked out for you, at least on like the high school level.
Or like a Division II level.
Sure.
Yeah. Or just like, you know, kind of our influence in life would be better because like people are more, you know, afraid of people who are over 6 feet tall and just like are not. If you're 5'8", people are going to give you more shit than you deserve.
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredible how much conflict I've avoided in my life simply because I am a above average height individual.
Right. And just, you know, most CEOs happen to be 6'2 or higher.
Just, it's great being a fail son. I'm going to tell you what, it's a nice life. Have I told you the story about like how I didn't even realize I was very tall until I was like 23 years old?
No.
I was living in Arizona. Like growing up, I played a lot of sports. And so I think naturally I just developed friendships with guys who were bigger or athletic or whatever. Yeah. One of my closest friends in high school was like 6'5". So I never felt tall.
Sure.
All of my relatives are, you know, all my male cousins were all 6 foot plus for the most part. Like we were just big people.
Yeah.
And so I never thought about it. And then living in Arizona for a few years. And I started going out a lot when I was 22, 23 years old. And I remember walking into bars and just looking around and being like, why do I feel like out of place? Like, why is everyone kind of looking at me? And then also like, why am I like feeling like people are looking at me? And it's because I'm looking around and I can see everybody and they can all see me because everyone's, you know, first or second generation Mexican Americans. And I'm like, I'm just like the biggest motherfucker in this room.
You're like Andre the Giant going to Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I was like, like 22 years old, just realizing for the first time that like, oh, I'm tall.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was weird. It was weird being that late in life, relatively speaking, and then realizing something so simple about yourself. That's also the first time I recognized that, like, oh, women find height attractive. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Really?
Is this just because I don't know if maybe it's the time I grew up into or, like, there wasn't as many, pickup artists online trying to teach you about the game or whatever.
Yeah.
But that was not something that I was even conscious of until that time.
It didn't click that women look at shoe size and height to think of just dick, and just dick is the thing that matters.
I just thought I was funny. I just thought, you know, it was my personality winning people over, and come to find out it was just the fact that they, wanted a giant security blanket to ease anxieties.
That's funny. Just like, I thought women liked me because I was funny.
I thought they liked me for my personality, but it was because of my big tits, you know? Yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah.
So then I had to work on my personality over the years as that started to wane, and you know, we've reached a nice middle ground, I like to think.
Yeah, the physical things I bring to the table is this hair and my dimples.
Yes.
Just my dimples are cute.
Yeah, great smile.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I never show it.
Yeah.
Unless I'm recording with you pretty much.
Yeah. I was telling you before we started recording, I feel like I got too weird and too old before finding someone to like lock down with for a bit though.
Mm.
Like you look around this apartment, brother, and it's like, this is all hoe scaring material for the most part.
Yeah.
There's I got some neat shit in here, but then, you know, I got like a Ku Klux Klan fucking, range target on the back of my door. I don't know. I think it conveys that I, certainly have interests, and maybe they're beyond, you know, I guess it's not anything, I try not to think of it as like anything beyond just like, these are my Funko Pops.
Yeah.
Because it kind of just is that, right?
Sure.
Same thing with like buying books or whatever and not fucking reading them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess it conveys a certain amount of worldliness or whatever. But
I mean, I'll be honest. This isn't too different from the lesbian roommates I had when I was with Rebecca. It kind of looked like this, including the gamer set, the double screen setup and everything.
It was a mix of like gamer, internet culture.
Communist books and cats.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think, especially in blue states, there'll be enough people that vibe with this.
That's true.
That smoke weed.
It was really hard in Eastern Washington, Northern Idaho. Like once I moved, because I moved back after living in Arizona for a couple of years, I moved back at like 25. And I was there for a year or two. Yeah, getting on like dating apps or trying to talk to people, like it's just so far removed from your worldview. You know, it's like if you actually give a shit about the world around you in a real way, it's very hard to find people that also kind of care.
Yeah.
So many, like, you get on the fucking dating app, man, and it's just people talking about like their career and that they love to travel, and I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
The world, like, is dying.
No, it's cool. Like, if you have the privilege to travel, like, I fucking love that for you. Like, go for it. But the idea that like we're gonna go on vacation to like some European country, meanwhile, like, you know, people are being fucking deported. Like, there's this conceit of like, we're gonna go spend money in a place where workers are also being fucking exploited.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, meanwhile, we go back home to our hometown and we're upset that it's $10 for a coffee or whatever. And it's like, oh, I'll just save it at home. And it's like, get the fuck out of here. Like, I feel like if you are traveling and spending $5,000 in another country, you got to go home and spend 15. You got to spend triple that amount of money in your own community. Because that's what keeps your neighbors fed and housed at a certain point. Granted, most of that money does go to the people who own the fucking businesses or whatever. But I don't know. Just getting older and weirder all the fucking time. Because I just had a birthday myself. You just turned 25.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
36.
36.
Yeah.
So you can rent a car.
Yes.
Is there anything else, like hitting 25, did you have any like, damn, okay, I thought at 25, because I had this thing in my 20s where you hit certain milestones and you're like, oh, maybe this will, but like, obviously your life goes how your life goes. Did you hit 25 or when you were like 21, were you thinking at 25, X, Y, and Z will happen?
In April. I want the beard to come in finally.
That's it.
That's it.
By 25, you figured you'd actually have a full beard?
Yeah. I figured. But we'll see.
Did you think you'd still be in school?
No, dude. Oh, my God. So sad. I should have been 3 years done by now, dude. Yeah. It's horrible.
What's great is you're going to graduate. You're going to look at the job market and be like, grad school seems kind of interesting.
Kind of stupid. Kind of a waste.
Let's go get a English. Let's go get a master's in English.
Well, what's nice is if I do the laziest thing and stay with Maryhill.
Yeah.
I could just, once I get just the first degree, I could slip right into just.
It's how a lot of people end up doing it. Not just at our job, but just in general. Like, you just kind of find whatever's the easiest.
A principal
path
that likes you and then. You're just in there.
I haven't managed to figure that out yet. Where it's like, there's a lot of easy paths I could have taken in my life where I was like, oh, I could just do this for the rest of my life.
But yeah.
I hit about the 2 year mark with any job and I start panicking.
Yeah.
I'm like, I gotta get out. I gotta find something else.
That's basically what happened with Fox too.
Yeah.
Is he thought like, yeah, I'd have this job for like 9 months and then go to someone else. And then he was there for like 2 years.
And it started just weighing on him.
Yeah.
Well, thankfully, he was able to actually get out and, you know, start applying elsewhere. And he's doing similar work, but it's the type of thing, too, where, like, jobs don't give you any fucking more money. And it's like, at a certain point, it's like, I'll go somewhere else and get the 50-cent raise, and then they won't.
For him, $3.
Yeah, and then I'll stay there for a couple of years, and then, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
People that I've talked to, a few potential dates. Did I tell you I was trying to get with a couple recently?
Yeah.
But it.
What happened there?
Dudes are such fucking dry texters, man. Yeah. I don't know. It's also this type of thing where, like, as far as like being attracted to men versus women, it's like 95% women, 5% men. So if you somehow fall in that 5% window, you got to fucking be exceptional to stand out, to beat out the 95%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is the first time I've actually experienced this. So I'm texting with this guy, right? It's this married couple. They're about a decade older than me. Just right away, it's very clear. And this happens a lot in couples where it's like, especially ones that are open to another man coming in. Usually it's for the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, there are definitely plenty of women that love, you know, getting all their holes filled. Yeah. But but I feel like that's like the exception. Like that's more of like a one-time thing. More often than not, it's...
Two girls, one guy.
The man wanting to explore something.
Yeah.
You know, you see it a lot. But, you know, men in general just aren't as comfortable being, you know, openly bisexual or pursuing that or something like that.
Yeah.
And I've had this kind of journey the last couple of years where I'm like, you know, I could probably date men, but it's not anything I grew up with. And it's like completely removed from any reality. It's like, I'm almost trying to psyop myself.
Yeah.
Into being more woke. Like I have this constant like battle inside. Like, do I actually want to suck a dick or do I just want to say the word faggot? Like that's like the constant battle within me.
Yeah. That is so true of my...
Well, now that Trump's president, you can say faggot whenever you want, but it's just, you know, amongst certain people, you want to make sure. I was talking to this gal who's in Oklahoma, and I referred to myself as a retarded faggot.
Yeah.
After telling her, you know, my diagnoses and my orientation, and she didn't like the retard part of it. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to argue with someone,
but
it's clear that I think there's a lot of people that fall in certain parts of certain spectrums where that word might have been used against them in the past.
Yeah.
Same thing, you know, with faggot.
Or a sibling.
Right. And it's like, I get that you have history with that word, but like, come on.
Well,
18 days in World of Warcraft in the last 90, I feel like I've earned it, okay? Like, if that doesn't give me the pass, like, what does?
One time when me and Greek were going to a Giants game,
mm-hmm.
we're on the train, and we just heard this homeless guy going, J-Cats, J-Cats, California just full of J-Cats. And we're like, what the fuck does J-Cat mean?
Uh-huh.
And it just means retarded faggot. It's an Oakland slang for retarded faggot.
Hell yeah.
So, J-Cats is the get-around now for me.
I gotta bring that back.
Yeah.
So I'm texting this guy, and, you know, it's whatever, but it's just so dry. I'm trying to be very, like, and I always text like this. I always got, like, a lot of emojis and stuff like that,
because
you got to punch it up a little bit if you're doing texting. I usually do voice memos, because you can actually express yourself that way a little bit, if we're not going to talk on the phone or whatever. But eventually, I realized that he was a gamer. He said something about, it was around the Super Bowl. His mm-hmm. partner was going out for it, but he was going to, with some other Chiefs fans, and he was going to stay home. And play video games. I was like, oh, what games are you going to play? I was like, fine.
Finally something.
I feel like if I'm going to be with a man, it's just going to be a bro that like I can also like make out with or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine.
Marry a friend.
Basically. I mean, that's the same thing as like a romantic relationship with a woman, but it's like, you know, very rarely does everything line up where a woman has this similar interest to mine.
Yeah.
Just because of how we're brought up or whatever. You know, probably my ideal relationship with a woman is going to be someone who's like a Sims player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
That's where she spent 18 of the last 90 days is, you know, building her perfect life in the Sims. Meanwhile, it's the damn bitch. You look at it like this, like surrounding her.
With being with someone for over 6 years, a lot.
Six fucking years. That's crazy, bro. That's a fourth of your life almost. Or
oh
six.
God, yeah,
six.
That's crazy. A lot of it is about 70% of your interests as the man get pushed on her.
Yeah.
And you take about 20 to 30 back.
Yeah.
Because she...
That's just patriarchy, though.
Yeah. And she, not quite Sims, but is very into Stardew Valley and those type of games.
Yeah, yeah. Whoever I end up with, there will be a lot of parallel play happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Where we're in the same... Exactly, we're going to be in the same room together, but we're not really talking.
Yes. It's awesome. It's nice to just be able to sit and exist in the room without feeling the need to talk.
Yes.
Ever. Just like to show that you still care.
Do you know how difficult it is to find someone like that? Because we don't leave our fucking rooms. So I can't, like, how am I supposed to find that person?
Yeah.
It's very difficult. But anyways, texting this guy and we started talking about games and he's talking about Marvel Rivals.
Okay.
Are you familiar?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it's like the new Overwatch, but it's got, you know, hero shooter, class-based shooter.
Spider-Mans.
But it's all the Spider-Mans. So I'm like, all right, like, you know, like there's an aspect of Marvel Rivals that like I get why it's so popular, right? It's this heavily, like, it's basically the most well-known IP in the world at this point. So it's bringing in all types of people. So I'm like, okay, I got to suss out, like, what kind of game player is he? Like, is he just, you know, whatever? Is he doing ranked matches, like what's happening. So I start asking him like who he likes to play as, and he mentions a couple of characters, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. You normally play like this role. He's like, oh no, I just kind of play like, I'm like, okay. I was like, he said something along the lines of, basically, I was able to suss out that he was a fucking casual.
Yeah, casual.
And it ruined it for me. And I was like, I was like instantly turned off. And I was just like, okay, I guess that's one of my icks.
You're,
like,
you're like, not about that life?
No. Like, get out of here. Like, if you want to, if you're trying to come at me like you're some, I guess it's, but it's only going to be a thing. Like, if he had a vagina, it would not be an issue.
Problem, yeah.
If there was a vulva involved in some capacity.
Show me your dick.
Yes. But the fact that I have to get over that hump already. Like the inherent biases I already have growing up, like that's just like, nope, I'm out. Like, I just can't.
Show me your gamer dick. I want
to
suck it.
Because I said something to him like, oh yeah, well, here's this, because he mentioned some characters. Like, oh, like this guy has really good guides on like how to play. He's like, yeah, I don't really.
I'm not going
to
be balling with
he's
that.
He's like, no, I just kind of like to play. And I was like, oh. Which you don't have to try hard and sweat in every game, but there's a mentality that like you should understand the game on a certain level, because otherwise you're just dragging the fucking team down. It's a team fucking game. Yeah. Go play a single player 1v1.
Yeah,
go play Warcraft, or go. I mean, nobody plays Warcraft or Starcraft anymore. But like, it's one of those things where like, if you're playing a multiplayer experience, like if you show up to the kickball game and you don't know the fucking rules of kickball.
Yeah.
Get the fuck off the field. Like, spend 5 minutes learning online how kickball works. I don't know. Like,
or just watch as we play for a bit.
Yeah. Or, I mean, there's also an aspect of, like, and I see this with, like, kids at work a lot, where it's like, you know, you don't have to participate. You could actually just observe.
Yeah.
And then learn kind of what's going on. But instead of, and you know, obviously I get it. It's fun to just jump in.
Yeah.
But if people already know what's going on and you're just kind of jumping in, you're dragging down the experience for people.
Yeah.
And there should be some amount of, you know, gaming has done this because there's no more community servers. It's all matchmaking stuff. So there really is no casual way to enter a game anymore, unfortunately. Yeah. It's all like, oh, we're going to match you up with like similar skill levels. You can't just be the shitter on the team.
Yeah.
You're all supposed to be trying to win.
Yeah. Unless you had friends from high school / college and you make a Discord server. Yeah.
Dude, talking about getting older. That's the other part. Like, you know, again, 18 days and 90 in World of Warcraft. Like, I have 2 level 60s, and which is the max level in the version of the game we're playing.
Yeah.
And nobody else has hit 60 yet besides my buddy who has 2 young children at home, because he's found a way to play at work.
Oh, okay.
My other friends who only have domestic partnerships, and I hope they fucking hear this and get on and fucking start leveling their characters, because it's the same thing as fucking this game came out originally in 2019 when they like relaunched it. There's no, very little incentive for me to play once I've reached max level if I'm not playing with my friends.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I could try and min-max it and get all my numbers up or whatever, but to what end?
Yeah.
You know, at a certain point, I come out of the depression and I'm like, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
Because I'm not making memories with my friends. I'm just seeing numbers get bigger on a computer.
So, to get into my tism a bit.
Yeah.
I've been out of because I don't buy new games, really. I kind of just look at the same shit and I have it on the wall.
Yeah.
And I haven't been gaming anything in a while besides Lego, Harry Potter, and me and Rebecca trying to 100% that. Finally, I've stopped, like, I have nothing on my computer I want to do anymore, because now the computer's just schoolwork for me.
Yeah.
So I've been 100%ing Mario Baseball, because there's a YouTube channel who I like that are just, like, 8 college bros playing that game and have a little league of their own.
Yes.
So I have them on as...
It's like you're playing with your friends.
Kind of, yeah. It's like I've beaten the game before when I was a kid, but I never 100%ed getting all of the little unique star missions where, like, with fucking Blue Pianta, you have to drop a bunt that drives in a run or whatever.
Okay.
So I have to do these little star missions for each character.
This is a GameCube game?
Yeah. Superstar Baseball.
It's incredible how good the GameCube was, dude.
Yes, brother.
As far as first party
stuff. Fuck yes.
As far as first party stuff, like, it makes sense why you got stuck there.
Yeah. It's so much better.
Because the next console was the Wii, right?
The Wii, yeah.
Which was just trash.
Yeah.
There was like, there's a
couple single player experiences.
There's a Galaxy. There's a, what was it, Zack and Wiki's Treasure Hunt or something. There's like some unique, like, you know, one-offs.
Yeah.
But for the most part, that was not a good console as far as like, there's no games that have any lasting appeal there. It was all just waggle your dick around.
Yeah. Because the only thing that, you know, co-op on that is the new Super Mario Bros. Wii. Which now there's just new Super Mario Deluxe.
That's the worst co-op game. That's the one where you can like knock each other down and stuff, right?
Yeah, that's that. You troll them.
Yeah, it's fun when you're 10. Yeah. It's extremely frustrating. Have you ever tried to play with other adults that aren't good at the game?
Yes.
It sucks. They're constantly in a bubble, and you're just like, just stay in the bubble. Let me do this part. Like, just stop. And I've only done it like I feel like I have, that would ruin a relationship for me if I was with somebody. Uh-huh. Like, you know, again, I have friends who will text me and they will say, she doesn't hold B to run. And I'm just like, you should have talked about this in the prenup. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, the thing is, we've won a couple times. She's even, or maybe even slightly better than me at Overcooked, which is like the ultimate relationship ruiner.
Yeah, sure.
So if we can go through the Overcooked wars, we could play any game together.
That's true. That's true. Because that's the co-op experience where it's like, I'm really dependent on you to get something done.
And there are times where I'm like, where me and her are both like, why the fuck did you serve that? That's out of order.
It's fun to have something where you can yell at each other about something that doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I think that's probably actually healthy for most relationships.
Yeah, because we never fight.
Yeah.
And really the most we get, not even manage it, like we're not thinking about it when the game is turned off.
Right.
But it's like, dude, I can't believe you failed to, like, you burnt the patty.
I can't believe you failed to chop that cabbage. It was the simplest thing.
Yeah, dude.
I'm running 7 different timers over here. All you had to do was chop the cabbage.
Turn in the wrong fucking plates.
I guess, yeah. You have to, I think with every successful relationship, as someone who hasn't been in one in many years, there is an aspect of, like, you got to be able to find a way to be aggressive with each other. I guess a lot of people find that in the bedroom, I guess.
Yeah.
But something where you can kind of get your feelings out in a way that's healthy. You know, obviously talk about whatever's bothering you, but I think it is fun just to hoot and holler.
Yeah, because that's the only time we like yell at each other, unless we're like, there are some troll. We do a little trolling.
We do a little trolling.
Where she'll do bits of like stealing my clothes or whatever when I'm trying to like get into them for work or something.
She just hides stuff on you? Like you're living with a raccoon or something?
Yeah, or she'll like just start putting them on herself. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? It's like, I have to go to work. And she's like, eh.
Oh, you're going to wear this? I was going to wear this today.
Yeah.
The closest I get with that around here is these cats will like sit. I'll pull clothes out and then they just sit on them. And then they just stare at me.
Well, much like the cats, if she were to do that, I would just also pick her up and throw her.
Yeah, it's a lot of that. I can't believe I'm 36 years old. I'm halfway through my life expectancy. As a taller guy, I think 72 is a good age 72? To aim for.
My dream was always 82.
That last 10 years, though, like, do you think it's going to be any good?
It depends who I'm with. It depends if I get to retire and actually get to enjoy it.
And if your brain is still there.
Yeah.
I could take, I think I'll be okay if, like, my body starts failing, you know, because then you just develop. It's just more of a challenge to like mindfulness, but when your brain starts slipping, yeah, I think that's the hard part.
Sometime in the next 10 years, I'm going to learn how to be able to play Melee without any of the hardware I grew up with so that I can kick my grandson's ass at it.
So the extremely strong stance you have of like, you know, no, what's the type of controller that everyone uses?
Boxes, yeah, rectangles, no box. cheater things, yeah. Typewriters.
You're going to have to adapt and you'll just be using some like Neuralink style control.
Oh, dude, it's so funny. Every Melee player is like, if you take away the controller and I just play with my mind, I'd always win.
Yeah.
I'm so much smarter. Because
your reaction times are instant. If it's just the thought you have, but it's getting the thought into your hands, into the game.
That's
the whole skill. Can I sign off?
Yeah.
All right. Till next time, pussy eaters.
Yeah. We'll see. If we ever make a Discord for Winning Time Tapes, that's going to be called the Winner Circle.
Nice. We got a lot of ideas.
Yeah, just not a lot of execution.
I don't know if anybody actually listens to Chaotic. I have one buddy who will tell me. I will post Chaotic Pussy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody's actually listening to it.
I just look at my numbers and
I've never looked at the numbers. Maybe I need to start looking at the numbers.
For YouTube, it could vary between 8 and 25 views.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and then for
those are clicks.
For Spotify, it's about after each episode's up for a month, it'll get up to like 11, 12 views on Spotify.
Oh, yeah. Well, to the 10 people out there.
Yeah.
See you next time. I just know.